The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. That very day, the first day of the week, two of Jesus' disciples were going to a village 7 miles from Jerusalem called Emmaus, and they were conversing about all the things that had occurred. And it happened that while they were conversing and debating, Jesus himself drew near and walked with them, but their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing as you walk along?" They stopped, looking downcast. One of them, named Clopas, said to him in reply, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know of the things that have taken place in these days?" And he replied to them, "What sort of things?" They said to him, "The things that happened to Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, before God and all the people. How our chief priests and rulers both handed him over to a sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that he would be the one to redeem Israel. And besides all this, it is now the third day since this has taken place. Some of the women from our group, however, have astounded us. They were at the tomb this morning, and they did not find his body. They came back and reported that they had indeed seen an angel who announced that he was alive. Then some of us went to the tomb and found things just as the women had described, but they did not see him." And he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are! How slow of heart to believe all the things the prophets spoke. Was it necessary that Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" Then he began with Moses and all the prophets. He interpreted to them what referred to him in all the scriptures. As they approached the village to which they were going, he gave the impression that he was going farther. But they urged him, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening and the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. And it happened that while he was with them at table, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them. With that, their eyes were opened and they recognized him, but he vanished from their sight. Then they said to each other, "Were our hearts not burning within us while he spoke to us on the way and opened the scripture to us?" So they set out at once and returned to Jerusalem, where they found gathered together the 11 and those who were with them, and saying, "The Lord has truly been raised. He has appeared to Simon." Then the two recounted what had taken place and how he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. The Gospel of the Lord.
Sorry about that. I didn't have my mic switched on, so I'll have to begin again. Thank you for telling me. The manager of a department store had gone for lunch, and when he returned, he noticed that one of his sales clerks had his hand heavily bandaged. And before he could get a chance to ask him what happened to his hand, the sales clerk very excitedly told him, "You'll never guess what." He said, "I've sold that horrible suit, that pink and blue suit, double-breasted blue suit that had been hanging here for years. "Oh, wonderful," said the manager. "I thought we'd never get rid of it." "And what happened to your hand?" "Well," he said, "the man was very happy with it. I told him it was a very good fit that it was made for him. And he said he would take it. And after he had paid for it and was leaving the store, his guide dog bit me." Well, good for him. Now, in the gospel this evening, we have two very dejected, depressed disciples on the road to Emmaus. Their hopes seem to have been dashed. They had been following Jesus over the last number of months or years, and now they were returning home in a state of darkness, and very much darkness on the inside, downhearted. I suppose, like a lot of us today, we're in a time of darkness, maybe some of us without hope. Things were going very well up to 5-6 weeks ago, and now we're in the middle of this pandemic, and just like those disciples, we're confused, worried, anxious, wondering what we're going to do next. But as they went along the road, not realizing that it was the Lord himself, Jesus, walking beside them, they began to feel uplifted, and the phrase they used afterwards, did our hearts not burn within us? So it was a very uplifting, even though we're told they did not recognize Jesus. Until they arrived, and it was getting towards the end of the evening, and as good Jews, they offered him hospitality and invited him to come and rest and spend the night with them, and offered him a meal. And what did Jesus do? He took a piece of bread, broke it, and gave it to them. And at that moment, they recognized it was the Lord. Jesus, who had often fed his people when he saw them hungry, once again fed these two travelers. It is suspected by some scholars that one of those people on the road to Emmaus was Luke himself. And so if you can then visualize that this Luke wrote his gospel some best part of 50 years after the time of Jesus, around the year 85. And so he was writing it for the people of his time, for the community. And many of them would have been saying, just like we very often say, especially at a time like this, where is Jesus now? And Luke was teaching them, you'll find Jesus in the Eucharist. But also, just like those two disciples on the road, you'll find him always walking beside you. Now that brings me at this time to something, I suppose something very, very, very personal. I've been sharing it with some people recently. While it's quite difficult to come out here and celebrate I use that word celebrate rather than say Mass in an empty church just in front of a camera. I'm also very, very aware, because I try my best to put meaning into every word I pronounce. So hopefully I try not just to say the words as if I had said them many, many times before, and I do it in a mechanical fashion. I try to celebrate Mass as if it is the first time that I've done that. I try to do it with my heart. And so I have discovered recently that at certain points in the Mass, I feel a strange feeling comes over me. Especially when I will hold up in a few moments' time at the consecration of the Mass, that piece of bread, and I will say to you all at home, take this, all of you, and eat of it. I become very, very conscious. What do those words mean at the moment to the people looking at Mass? I become very, 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 very conscious of that. And a feeling almost of cheating, which is a strange word to use here, comes over me. Maybe it's not fair to be doing that to people at the moment, even though it's the most beautiful and poignant moment of the Mass. And then, when it comes to the reception of Holy Communion, and again I hold up now not just a piece of bread, but Jesus really and truly present. Not a symbol, not a sign, but the real presence. And I say, this is Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are we who are called to the supper of the Lord. I feel again that same feeling, because I'm very, very conscious of you at home who have told me, those of you I've spoken to, your longing and your desire for communion. And you have a thirst and a yearning to be able to receive communion. And I'm in a very privileged place and position of being able to receive Holy Communion every time I celebrate Mass. And I'm not worthy of that, no more worthy of that than you are. And yet you cannot do it at the moment. Believe me, I do feel that. I feel it very deeply. I'm very aware of that. And I just wish that we could find some way around this particular difficulty, some way or some means by which you would be able to receive the Eucharist. Maybe not every week, but at least occasionally. And I also feel very sad and disappointed with some of the things I read and are being circulated about. Well, the Eucharist maybe is just a symbol and a sign and we're always close to Jesus, even without receiving the Eucharist. But we need to feed our souls, and the body and blood of Christ gives life to our souls. We need it. We need that. And when Jesus instituted the Eucharist, he said, "Take this and eat it, for this is my body and this is my blood." I hope and pray that our present situation will not continue for too long. And then when we come to the end of Mass, I'm reminded of the little story of a teacher asked her students one day, "For you," this she said, "what is the most important part of the Mass, the most important point of the Mass?" And one student put his hand up and answered, "The most important part of the Mass is the dismissal, when the priest says, 'Go now, the Mass is ended.'" And she thought he was being funny. But in fact, he wasn't. He was being absolutely honest. And she said, "Explain that a little further." And he said, "For me, that is the most important part of the Mass. Because the Mass does not finish when the priest says, 'Go now, the Mass is ended.'" And I normally say, to love and serve the Lord, that's when we take the Mass out and live the Mass and carry the Eucharist. And so my hope for you this evening, who are going through difficult times, worrying times, anxious times, that you will not lose hope, but that you in some ways will become the Eucharist to other people, in the sense of encouraging them, being joyful, uplifting them, and above all, giving people hope, rather than reciting over and over again how bad things are, and will it ever end, and it's terrible. That doesn't help anybody. But be hopeful. Be people of hope. Smile. Show them you can be down there and still be joyful. You can be sad and joyful at the same time, because joy is a gift from God. It's inside us, and it comes out especially in times of difficulty, because I know deep down in my heart, and I hope you do, that ultimately all will be well, because God never lets us down. I ask myself time and time again, can I ever remember a time when God let me down? And the answer is categorically no. So take care and keep safe.